Just want to read three short scriptures, but they're all well known. In Isaiah 53 and verse 6, Isaiah 53 and verse 6, and all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and Jehovah hath laid upon him the iniquity of us all. And then in John's Gospel chapter 10 and verse 13. Now he who serves for wages flees because he serves for wages and is not himself concerned about the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know those that are mine, and am known of those that are mine. As the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep which are not of this fold. Those also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one flock, one shepherd. On this account the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it again. I have received this commandment of my Father. There was a division again among the Jews on account of these words, but many of them said, He has a demon and raves. Why do ye hear him? Others said, These sayings are not those of one that is possessed by a demon. Can a demon open blind people's eyes? And then lastly, just a verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, at the end of 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19. Do ye not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own, for ye have been bought with a price? Glorify now then God in your body. It was in the news recently that a famous, well-known Christian apologist — an apologist is not someone that keeps saying sorry, it's someone who makes a defence for the faith. And, well, he had been quite helpful. But it turned out that he was living a double life of immorality, sadly, which was a great shock. Here he was, a supposedly Christian teacher, living a double life. And the question has arisen as to whether he was actually saved. I don't want to go into that tonight. One thing, that it says in the scripture that the Lord knows those that are his. In one sense, only the Lord does know. But my question tonight to you, dear friend, is, do you belong to the Lord Jesus? I was thinking very much of John chapter 10. It says, the Lord Jesus says in John 10, and I know those that are mine. And the challenge tonight, dear friend, is, who do you belong to? You either belong to Jesus tonight, or you don't. It's as simple as that, dear friend. He is the good shepherd. I started in Isaiah, and it's a very well-known passage, which of course is speaking particularly to Israel, but there has this all-embracing verse. It says, all we like sheep have turned away, have gone astray, turned everyone to his own way. How true that is, dear friend. If we examine our own hearts, we can see it. We've all gone our own separate ways. There is only one way to life. It says in the scripture, this is the way, walk ye in it. And yet every single person This was addressed to the Jews, the people of Israel, but we have to take it to ourselves. And we're like sheep. Sheep are silly, foolish, and stubborn too. And that, doesn't it describe your heart and mine? We've gone astray. We've turned. That's part of man's sin and man's folly, that he's turned his back on God, turned away, made a deliberate move. Dear friend, we have to own up to our failure as men and women before God, that we've turned away, each to his own way. That's, I find that very interesting. No two men are the same. No two pathways are the same. Your life is not the same as mine, dear friend. But the scripture pronounces the solemn judgment that we each turn to his own way. A way that is displeasing to God. A way that is going to end in destruction. You know, Jesus told the parable, didn't he, of the narrow way and the broad way. In that broad way, there's enough room for everyone to go their own way. Whereas in the glad tidings, we're saying that there is just one way to life. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. But I just think it's interesting that the prophet here likens men and women, dare I say it, dear friend, you and me, to sheep who have gone their own way. Turned against God, gone in a way that they think is pleasing to themselves. You know, men sometimes think they're doing what is right, don't they? It says that in the scripture, and I find that interesting as well. There is a way that seemeth right to a man. You might speak to someone who says, yes, I'm doing what is right, I'm going to church, I'm reading the Bible, I'm doing all sorts of good things. There is a way that seemeth right to a man. But he says, at the end, the ways of death. Ways of death. You know, it's a question, dear friend, in the glad tidings, of whether you're coming into life or you're heading for death. Not only death physically, but death spiritually. How solemn that is. There's only two ways, dear friend. You either are heading for life eternal, or you're heading for death. I wonder where you stand tonight. We are sheep. We've gone astray. We've each gone to our own way. We are sinners. It's a word that is unpopular. The world calls it all other sorts of things. Failures and I can't think of the list of names, but there's a lot of different names they give, but they won't call it sin. But dear friend, we're not ashamed to say from the scriptures, God's word makes it plain that we are sinners. And as such, we deserve eternal death. It's the wages of sin. Death is the wages of sin. And after death, the judgment. That's the solemn fact, you know. But dear friend, we're not here to preach judgment, but we're here to preach deliverance from judgment. How wonderful that is. What? No wonder the gospel is good news, isn't it? Because it's a way of salvation, a way of escape. It's God's remedy. So you may be a sinful creature without hope. You know, a sheep is very often, if it's lost, it's hopeless and helpless. Doesn't that describe you and me before God? Hopeless and helpless. And yet you know God loves you. This is the wonderful thing. And he wants to bring you back, doesn't he? Now, Jesus told that parable of the 90 and the 9. He went just for the one. There may be just one in this hall tonight. And God is interested in you. Wants to bring you back. Such is the love of God. And so I read of the Good Shepherd. Don't think we can ever fail to be affected by this. It says in verse 13, he who serves for wages. Who's that? That's the devil, dear friend. dear friends. He serves for wages. And it says, and is not himself concerned about the sheep. Isn't that interesting? You know, the devil is not concerned for you tonight. He doesn't care where you're heading. He doesn't care that you may be going to hell. I'll say that again, dear friend. He doesn't care that you might be going to hell. He hates God. He hates life. His greatest weapon is death. And yet, you know, there is someone that does care. The Good Shepherd. How wonderful. What a contrast. What a contrast there is here. It says the Good Shepherd. I am the Good Shepherd. That's what who we present in the glad tidings tonight, dear friend. The Lord Jesus Christ, God's beloved Son. The Good Shepherd. Forget the ones that you think may care. They're only looking after themselves. And you look in the news today, in the world today, everyone's out for themselves. Government is corrupt. Everyone's looking after themselves. The devil doesn't care about you, dear friend, but Jesus does. Paul said, didn't he, the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. The Good Shepherd. There's only one person, only one that's concerned for your soul tonight, and that is the Lord Jesus. And it says here, what struck me particularly, I am the Good Shepherd, and I know those that are mine. The Lord Jesus knows if you belong to him tonight. Whom do you belong to? You need to belong to someone. We are creatures. You know, in a general sense, of course, God is the creator. Paul makes that clear when he preaches in Athens. He says, we're all the offspring of God. We, in a very general and high level sense, we belong to God. But you know, the usurper came in, didn't he? He's taken what belonged to God. But that's the wonderful story of the gospel is redemption. The fact that the price has been paid to bring you back. And that's where the heart of the gospel comes in. It's a question of redemption. Question of the price. And so you see here the Good Shepherd, he gave himself for the sheep. I lay down my life for the sheep. How affecting that is. Have you not been affected, dear friend, that the Lord Jesus, the Good Shepherd, came into this very world of sin and sorrow? And he gave himself, he laid down his life. We often said in the gospel, haven't we, that in him was life. We are given life. Life is a very precious thing, isn't it? You know, when a baby's born, how wonderful it is. Life, new life comes into the world. But that life is given, isn't it? But Jesus, it was different. In him was life. He was the essence, the very essence of life. And yet it says he gave himself. He laid down his life. What does it say? I lay down my life. Voluntarily. Laying it down gives the idea that he did it voluntarily. Yes, he did everything according to the will of God. God desired him to. But the affecting point of the gospel is, dear friend, that he lay it down. Willingly. Voluntarily. As the Good Shepherd, because he cares for you. Not like the devil who hates you, who doesn't care for you. Devil is a murderer. It says it's a liar and a murderer from the beginning. But Jesus, the Good Shepherd, he laid down his life. He willingly laid down his life for the sheep. For that person, that silly, sinful person like you and me that's gone astray. He laid it down. He laid his life down. How wonderful this is. That he says he may take it again. You know, Jesus is not now on the cross. Yes, he suffered on the cross for your sins and for mine. God required a payment, a sacrifice. We can't get round that, dear friend. Some will try and water down the gospel. We cannot water it down. The cross was essential. If God was to come out in blessing, it has to be on a righteous basis. And therefore God requires a sacrifice for sin. That's made clear right at the beginning. Abel, you know, he brought a lamb, didn't he? God, he knew instinctively, we might say, what was required. And that's wonderful, isn't it? That, you know, Jesus has become the sacrifice for sin. Mighty sacrifice. The lamb. He gave his life for the sheep. Wonderful that is, isn't it? The good shepherd. He says he's laid it down that he might take it again. You know, we preach not a saviour that's on the cross. You see many pictures of crosses and the Lord Jesus on the cross. Yes, well, it's a reminder that he was there, but it's not now. He's not in the grave either. He's risen and glorified. And he's coming again. Very soon. He's coming to this world to put it right too. But before he does that, dear friend, he's coming for everyone that's been redeemed. I hope that includes you. You know, there's going to be an assembling shout. Everyone will hear that voice that believes, whether they're dead or whether they're alive. If they're a believer in Jesus and if they belong to him, they will hear that voice. It says the dead shall hear the voice. Dead in Christ we shall rise first, and we the living who remain. I just ask simply that question again. Do you belong to Jesus? Have you had a transaction with him? Do you know that you belong to him? Again, I look at that verse. I am the good shepherd, and I know those that are mine. And then there's the other way round. And am known of those that are mine. That's interesting, isn't it, too? So that Jesus knows you, and you know him. Tonight, dear friend, I would just challenge you afresh. Do you belong to Jesus? Do you know him? Does he know you? You know, it's an appeal. How can you not be affected by this wonderful fact? This glorious person gave his life, laid down his life, and he took it again so that you might have an eternal life, that you might be brought into blessing. It's interesting, at the end of this episode, it says there was a division again among the Jews. You know, the gospel, in one sense, it divides. We preach this glorious message of salvation, but it's a challenge, isn't it? Which way are you going to leave this hall tonight? Are you going to go on in your own way, like that sheep, those sheep? Or are you going to turn to the Lord Jesus? Are you going to confess him as Saviour and Lord? Repent of your sins and put your trust and faith in his finished work. There is a division. Where are you going to go? Which way are you going to head? Where are you going to end up? Dear friends, the challenge is in the gospel, in the message tonight. Do you belong to him? I read in Corinthians, because this is another challenge to believers. Paul says, ye are not your own. Men think they live to their own charges. They're just responsible to themselves. But you're not. You're responsible to God. And you owe your allegiance to him. Many people think they're serving themselves, serving some greater good. But if they're not serving Jesus, they're serving the devil. Tonight I'd ask you, who do you belong to? Jesus, you know, has paid the ultimate price. He's laid down his life. He He shed his precious blood that you might be brought back to him. That point of redemption, it's often said in the gospel story, isn't it, about that little boy in his boat, that it was, he lost it on the river, and then he found it in a shop, and he paid the price to get it back. And he said, now I own it twice. And that's just how it is in the glad tidings. You belong to God. You've wandered away. You've gone your own way. But there's been a price paid to bring you back. And now you belong to Jesus. And that can never be broken. That link, it may come under strain through our own self-will and many other things. But it cannot be broken. Because if you belong to Jesus, that is forever. I am his and he is mine forever and forever. But the cost was the precious blood of Jesus. That's why it said, Paul says, you've been bought with a price. Dear friend tonight, how can we ever understand the price that was paid? That Jesus paid on Calvary's cross. Can we ever understand the price paid to redeem you, to bring you back off that self-willed way, that way of despair and darkness and wandering? God in his grace has sent the Lord Jesus to redeem you. The price, his precious blood. What a cost it was. Dear friend tonight, doesn't it affect you? This good shepherd has given his all for you, that you might belong to him. Dear friend tonight, again I would challenge you in the glad tidings. Who do you belong to? Are you owned? You know, when in the old days when something was purchased, there was a seal put on it as a seal of ownership. God, you know, in his wonderful grace, if you're saved tonight, if you're saved, God gives you the Holy Spirit, doesn't he? Mark of ownership. You're his and his forever. Nothing can break that. Paul said that in Romans, didn't he? That life nor death nor any other creature, nothing can separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Dear friend, what hope we have as Christians. You know, we've got something which is far beyond anything this poor world can offer. We should be full of joy and praise and worship because we've been redeemed. There's going to come a day when the whole host of the redeemed will be on display. God will say, it will demonstrate what he's done through Jesus, and the wonderful work of redemption will be that the fruits of it and the result of it will be on the world for the universe to see. The host of the redeemed. Thousands of thousands and tens of thousands. And they've all been bought by that same precious blood. And they belong to Jesus. You know, in John 17, the Lord Jesus said to the Father, thine they were. Yes, in one sense, everything belongs to God, doesn't it? Thine they were, but thou gavest them me. That wonderful vessel, that company, the church, the assembly, belongs to Jesus. And you belong to Jesus if you put your trust and faith in him. And he's bought you and redeemed you and has given you the Holy Spirit as the earnest of our inheritance. Seal of our redemption. Tonight, I just leave it with you. Dear friend, who do you belong to? Through wonderful grace, I can say, I belong to him. He is mine and I am his. May you be able to say the same for his name's sake. Amen.